All right, moving on. Kevin Tigham is on the line with us now, Van Tigham. He is an outdoor columnist for Outdoor Canada. He's also an author, a former park superintendent, and a biologist to boot. So he joins us now. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning. Pretty good.
Good. We're having some problems here, so bear with us. Hopefully we'll get through the segment without any major crashes. First of all, you're in Canmore? As we speak?
Yeah, Canmore, Alberta, just on the east slope of the Rockies.
Nice. What's the weather looking like out there?
Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Robins are singing, and it's going to go up to, I think, the high 20s today, so it's looking good. Creeks are high.
Nice. Nice. Now, we got you on because you wrote an interesting article in Outdoor Canada magazine where you mentioned in the article about potential problems for some of our stream-dwelling fish that we may be causing inadvertently and without knowing. So can you kind of elaborate on that for the listening audience?
It was written really from the point of view that hunters and anglers who care about their streams often take the brunt of some of the measures to protect them. You know, we've had an awful lot of changes to fishing regulations to reduce angling harvest and the risk of you know, hook-related mortality. And you know, that's fine. You know, we're all conservationists. We're willing to take one for the team, especially if it's going to do something for the fish. But you know, what we're doing is we're missing the real problem, and we're taking blame that really doesn't belong on us. When our fish populations are in chronic difficulty, it's usually related to their habitat. And their habitat is those creeks. And those creeks don't right. just magically get water. The water comes from the land. And a lot of the problems when those creeks cease to be good habitat is because of bad land use. And I'm just suggesting that as hunters and anglers, we really need to be much more attentive to how our governments regulate land, because it's bad land use that's ruining our fishing.
And when you say bad land use, Kevin, you're talking about, for the most part, the agricultural industry and you know, putting pesticides and that type of toxic chemicals as they're rearing their crops that inadvertently spill off into the rivers and creeks?
No, I'm talking about a lot more than that. It's, you know, water drains to creeks through the ground, so it needs to go down. It needs to come from the snow melt and the rain through healthy vegetation into porous soil, and that's what allows it to go into groundwater and then come seeping out as springs and base flow inside the streams. That's the system by which streams get their water and by which they get the cleanest water, because it's filtered by the ground and it's cold because it goes down into the you know, below the heated surface. So that's the critical thing. And when we log, when we use our off-road vehicles, when we build too many roads, what we're doing is we're interfering with that process. You know, it doesn't mean we can't do those things, but it means that we really need to be attentive to the impact we're having on the soil and on the vegetation in the soil, because that's where our uses impact our streams. It's far more than just pollution. It's actually runoff and sedimentation and the interruption of groundwater. So, you know, it's interesting. In Alberta right now, we have a government that just removed all the protections for our eastern slopes in terms of coal mining. And I'm sure that when they approve the coal mines that they have their eyes on, they'll probably leave a 100-meter buffer on either side of each creek and say they've protected the creek. But the coal mine actually disrupts the entire watershed. You can't protect the creek if you mess up everything that provides water to the creek. Over in Ontario, they're talking about reducing the restrictions on the forest industry so that they don't need to worry about endangered species habitat. Well, most of our stream-dwelling salmonids, most of our native trout and Arctic grayling are in trouble everywhere. Removing the protections for them simply means we can start worrying about the impacts of land use on their habitat. Doesn't make sense. And then, you know, what's ended up happening is that the fish populations continue to decline, so we start to lose more and more of our fishing access, and yet it doesn't solve the problem, because the problem is a land use problem.
Now, are you talking of extreme rural conditions, or are you talking something a little closer to main centers?
This is everywhere. You know, all the main centers get water from the headwaters of our rivers. And the headwaters of our rivers are habitat for native trout. In Ontario, there's something like, I think, 80% of brook trout habitat no longer supports brook trout because of issues related to culverts, to aggressive forestry with road networks everywhere, erosion from off-road vehicle trails. In Alberta, our West Slope Cuts Road is down to fewer than 20% of its original streams. Bull trout are in trouble. Arctic whaling are vanishing from some of the streams that used to be famous for them. And it's something you see across the country. Well, that's not us anglers. Angling can have an impact on these things. That's habitat, and habitat relates to land use. So, I think anglers need to be much more aggressive at saying, go ahead and do forestry, go ahead and do off-roading, but do it responsibly, do it with restraint, and do it with the health of the streams in mind, because those streams need healthy groundwater, and that groundwater comes from that land that we're all using.
So this isn't just a case of urban sprawl, which is, occurring on a second-by-second basis. You're talking as a general umbrella. We need to be concerned about even simple things like opening up areas for in our forest industry for taking, and I know it's happening quite a bit in northern Ontario. There's always issues going on with opening up new tracts of land for forestry, et cetera, because it's not just the forest, the trees themselves coming out, but, the roads that are needed to access those areas and the culverts and all that. And basically every one of those items that we put in place, it's just another block that
That's
we're
right.
adding
yeah.
to.
It comes closer to home, too. A lot of us use off-road vehicles to access our fishing areas.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of handy. But every time you go in on a quad and you see water standing in the ruts, that was meant to be groundwater. That was meant to be seeping through porous soil, and it's now trapped on the surface because of the fact that our tracks cut into the ground and compact the soil there.
Wow.
And that means that somewhere a creek is suffering from a change to its groundwater flow. So we also need to make sure that we, restrain our use of those things and build proper trails for them and avoid the other areas. So, it goes to any way in which we use the land. I like to say, we think that water comes from the stream, water comes to the stream. And it's up to us to make sure that water gets to the stream in the right ways, because otherwise it's going to, we're going to continue to see these declines in our native fish stocks across the country.
Well, you say it's up to us, but that's easier said than done. What can we do? What are some of the specifics? What are you suggesting that people do? I'm talking about people who use the outdoors, anglers, hunters, et cetera. What are you suggesting?
And I think, we need to keep our politicians accountable. We can't just vote once every 4 years and then leave them to hobnob with industry guys and assume that good things are going to happen. Ontario's got a historical approach to, conservation area planning and watershed planning. Those things, planning for land use is not popular with, some of the penny-pinching governments, but it's something that we need to do, because then we're consciously taking the time before the forestry dispositions are made, before the trail networks are laid out, before the mining approvals go in. We're taking the time and saying, how does this watershed work? Where can we do things most safely? Where are the sensitive areas, and what should we modify about our activities for those sensitive areas? If you're not doing that, then if we aren't doing that as citizens, then while we're busy going out fishing or hunting or hiking or whatever we do, somebody else is busy lobbying our governments to get these things open up for more intensive land use. And, of course, it's the intensive, unplanned and unregulated land use that's messing up all of our creeks.
Yeah, it's funny, because sometimes we as outdoors people, don't look at the big picture. We're so immersed and we should be. When we get to the outdoors, it's just such a wonderful space, and we get completely wrapped up in it. You don't realize, the little things you just mentioned, a standing puddle of water, that is significant. We don't even think about that.
Sure, it's telling you something. Everything you see out there is telling you something. One of the great things about being an outdoors person is that you are conscious of the living world. And it's such a rich reward for all of us when we're out there fishing and hunting. And I think, you know, it's a reward, but also it demands that we be attentive and see what the world is telling us. And sometimes it's telling us things aren't quite right here. You know, and we like to call ourselves the original conservationists. Well, you know, okay, we are. But, you know, you don't get to wear that badge. You actually have to earn it. And that means, unfortunately, sometimes we have to leave the creek to its own devices and go back to the meeting halls and the voting booths and make darn sure that people are taking care of those landscapes. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, and if we don't care enough to do it, given the time that we spend out there, well, who else is going to care enough to do it?
Now, sounds like one of the things we need to all look into, and starting with our local politicians, are probably a good place to vet our concerns, for sure.
There's a lot of good people in government, but they need to hear from us, because otherwise they're only going to hear from other people.
For sure, man. I want to thank you for joining us, Kevin. For folks who want to get more information, they can read up, as I said before, Kevin is an author and a columnist with Outdoor Canada magazine, former park superintendent, and has been keeping an eye on the situation for some time. We appreciate you joining us, my friend.
Thank you. Good fishing. Yeah, bye.
Okay, you too. Kevin Van Tighem. Interesting perspective on what we should be doing and not doing, and some of the things that we might be overlooking as outdoors people. I meant that, you know, when I said sometimes we get so wrapped up in being in the outdoors and what it means to us, that we forget those little things. And that's some very good points made up from Kevin.